Thank you, Sizwe. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Mapitsi, and just everyone who is here to celebrate the special day. And I hope that we get a bit of a glimpse of what heaven is like and as we celebrate everyone in God's kingdom. So I love that today is our together service because we're going to be speaking what it means to follow Jesus together. And so we, in many ways, are already embodying that. And I really pray that some juices are kind of already flowing in your mind and heart, just inviting you to this beautiful picture of togetherness. And so I want to open with a couple of quick questions. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. All right, but this is the first question. The question is, you know, when it comes to group projects, and some of you have to think way back to primary school and high school, but remember doing group projects or maybe group projects at varsity or group projects at work? How many of you heard group projects and were like, yes? Just, you love working with people, you love getting to know more people, you love the collaboration side of things. So how many of you are on that side, and how many of you are like, oh no, I hate group projects? Now, normally that's because you land up doing all the work, right? And everybody else gets a free ride. All right, but that's kind of true in other places as well. Some of us just loved the atmosphere in team sports. We love being a rugby team or a netball team, and we just love having a common goal and training together and working together. Whereas some of us love those sports that you can go and walk a golf course on your own if you really, really wanted to, right? And so some of us are wired in different ways. Some of us, when it gets to the weekend after a long and chaotic week, some of us want to just get rid of that pent-up energy with other people. And so we want to invite friends. We're looking for that social gathering because that is how we kind of detox after a tough week. Whereas many of us are like, no, 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 people are the last thing that I want to see. I want to see a movie. I want to get some takeaways. I want to put my feet up on the couch, and that's how I'm going to do things. The reason why I bring this up is because when it comes to doing things together, some of us just have a natural drive within us that enjoys the togetherness. You enjoy the chaos of kids being around you. You enjoy just seeing how different people are engaging, and you love the energy, while some of us are more wired to kind of maybe be with the book or be by ourselves, and we enjoy our own company. Now, often we can make the mistake that these people don't enjoy their own company, which they can. And the other mistake is that these people don't like people, but the truth is they can really like people. But the point is, some of us just have a wiring one way or the other. And the reason why we're talking about this is because last year we shared with you guys the vision that we believe God has for us as a church this year. And that vision comes to us in the form of when Jesus says to us, and you can go read it for yourself in the Gospels. The first and most important thing Jesus says is not go to church. The first and most important thing Jesus says is not even become a Christian. He never uses that word. Now, there's nothing wrong with the word except when you put the wrong kinds of ideas into that word. What Jesus says over and over again are two words: follow me. Follow me. Now, there's something in us that does actually enjoy following. I mean, the whole social media enterprise is about following, right? Instagram is about getting followers. And what happens is we have these people and we call them influencers. In other words, I'm inviting their influence in my life, and for that reason, I choose to follow. Maybe you're not on social media, but you have your sports heroes that you follow. You have your movie stars and your rock stars that you follow, or maybe your business heroes. So there's something natural in us that wants to follow. The big question is, who are we following? And so as we think about following Jesus, we're going to be just reinforcing what this means. It means learning how to be with Jesus. For some of us, that means just learning how to like Jesus. It means following in the ways of Jesus, learning from Jesus, practicing and doing what Jesus did and how Jesus did things. becoming the kind of person who could do what Jesus did, as we learn to do the things that Jesus did. And so when we talk about following Jesus, can you see that's way more than ticking a little Christian box and going to church sometimes? So the invitation for us this year is to follow Jesus. And I think for many of us, we're like, Stephen, I'm cool, I'm with you. I think I need to put down deeper roots in my relationship with Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that the first things most of you thought about when it comes to following Jesus is, well, I look forward to a year of learning how to pray more. Or I'm looking forward to a year just of revitalizing my quiet time or my devotion time with Jesus. Maybe I'm looking forward to a year where I can go deeper into the scriptures. And those are all good things. But notice how the first things we think of are things that are me in private with Jesus. And today is going to challenge that idea, because what we need to think about when we think about following Jesus is to move from me with Jesus to we with Jesus. From me to we. If we're going to follow him, become his disciples, we need to realize that the quiet place is a beautiful place with Jesus, but probably one of the biggest environments where Jesus wants to shape us and transform us, it's when we do we with Jesus. So what does this look like? Well, we're going to see a passage that's going to encourage us in that, but first, before we get there, I want to ask, and I'm going to leave this with the next geners for now. So let's just say 13 and down. I want to test your skills and test if you can remember all the names of the disciples. All right, so all the names of the disciples. We're not going to put it on one kid. So we're going to start off with one. We're going to start eliminating them. You'll get a little packet of sweets until we get to all 12 disciples, even if we're here till 11:30. All right, so if you know one of the disciples, oh, we got a hand up. John, you get a packet of sweets. Okay, anybody else? Hands. There we go. Josh? Matthew. Matthew is a disciple. All right, over here, Edie. James. Do you know what's James? There's two Jameses, so you only get one packet of sweets, but we're going to cross off two names for James. Then we got one over there. Peter, a packet of sweets for you. You can share with your parents. All right, we've got some hands over there. Love, would you go over there? Let's go, yellow t-shirts. Andrew, did you say Andrew? Well done, we're getting through the list here. Okay, we've got on your right, Asher. Judas, that's also a 2-4. All right, because we have two Judases. All right, we've got four left. Simon. Yes, we've got Simon. Okay, I think we need to start looking at other parts of the room. Let's go that side. Let's go that side. All right, red t-shirt. Luke. Did you say Luke? Now, Luke wrote a gospel about Jesus, but he wasn't one of the 12 disciples. All right. Okay, next one, love. Who we've got there? Mark. Mark also wrote a gospel in the Bible, but he wasn't one of the 12 disciples. Let's go over here. Paul. Paul also wrote a lot of the New Testament, but he wasn't one of the 12 disciples. Okay, let's go over there. Red dress. Bartholomew. Packet of sweets for you. There we go. Okay, we've got two more. There was, maybe you'll remember the story. Okay, let's find out who we've got here. Thomas, all right. We have one more. We've got one more. Okay, I'm not playing favoritism, but his hand's been up for a long time. My son Levi. No, we're not. That's not one of the, what did he say? Phineas, no, not one of the disciples. Thanks. Phineas. Is that Philip? Okay, I don't have Thanius, and I don't know. Okay, sorry, but I did just give it away. We got one more. Come, I just gave the clue. I just gave it away. One more. It sounds like the first part of also one of the New Testament letters. Philip. Round of applause to all our next geners. I wonder how many of our adults would have been able to do that as well. All right. Well done, guys. Well done. Jody and team, you're doing a great job raising disciples here. All right. So we're going to read about some of these guys. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. And I'm only giving you the passage now because all their names are here. Luke 6, verses 12 to 16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who, by the way, became a traitor. Now, I want you to imagine Jesus gone around calling all of these disciples, as I showed you last week, with those two words, follow me. I wonder how many disciples rocked up to discipleship 101 with Jesus and thought that they were going to get private one-on-one coaching with Jesus. And suddenly they rock up, maybe having this expectation, and all of a sudden there's 11 other dudes. All right, there's 11 other guys, and some of them are looking to some other disciple saying, Jesus, are you sure about that guy? I mean, isn't that what it's like here on a Sunday sometimes? When you walk into church and you look at someone, you're like, what are you doing in church? Steve, are you sure that you're allowing this person in the church, right? And I think this is so important because we think about following Jesus and the main framework we have is me with Jesus. And right from the outset with every single one of the disciples, it wasn't about one-on-one coaching with Jesus. It is about we with Jesus. So now we're going to look at who some of these people are to understand what a strange mix of people this crowd of disciples were. And it's actually going to start sounding like a bit of a joke. I'm sure you've heard those jokes. A rabbi, a pastor, and a lawyer walk into a bar. Right? I don't know how that joke ends, but there are so many jokes that start like that. And this group of disciples sounds like a joke. A zealot, a tax collector, and a rabbi go out for a morning walk. We know something's going to go wrong there. And so I want to tell you a little something about some of these disciples, and you're going to see that this is the furthest thing from a dream team. I mean, Jesus' goal here is to change these guys' lives so that they in turn will go out and change the world, which they did. But imagine I said to you, I want you to develop your own dream team. You can call whoever you want. You're going to be like, hey, Elon Musk, are you available for my dream team? You know, you've got the science and tech stuff, and you've got the, you've got some bucks to finance what you're doing. You're going to find some scientist who's got some cutting edge ideas, right? You're going to be finding the greatest minds of this world, because that's what a dream team looks like. Now, when Jesus looks for his dream team, this might sound like unimportant at the beginning, but he doesn't even look in Jerusalem, he's looking in Galilee. Now you've got to understand, if you're looking for the world's idea of a dream team in Israel in this time, you go to Jerusalem. That's where all the big important rabbis are. If anything, people in Jerusalem thought that the people from Galilee had weird country accents. I think it's the way Cape Town people think about Joburg people. Or maybe Joburg North people think about Joburg South people. So instead of going to the Ivy League universities of the world, or instead of even going to Sandton City, it's like Jesus goes to Alberton. Or Walkerville. Look, I'm proudly South, so I'm not mocking anyone here. But literally, this is where Jesus was looking for his team. And so some of the disciples we see here four of them were actually fishermen, and there were two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Now we go, oh, fishermen, Stephen, that sounds like your dream job, all right? We need to understand that these were people who worked with their hands. You know, in the schooling system of the time, there was, you know, people would go up to a certain age, and then those who weren't able to go further academically, they would have to start finding a trade so that they could work with their hands. You see, the bright sparks, they went on to become scribes, and they went on to become educated, and they had to just learn off by heart entire parts of the Old Testament. But it's the other guys, they left school, and they became, in this case, fishermen. So we're not talking about the best and the brightest. Peter and Andrew, James and John, growing up in Galilee, fishing there, they probably knew each other. They were probably friends already. Now I'm going to look at one of these guys, Peter. A lot of us identify with Peter because he was just impulsive, man. He was so often right-hearted but wrong-headed. He had what some of us might call foot-in-mouth disease, meaning, you know, just saying the wrong thing and now needing to figure out how to backtrack out of that. Peter was the guy, hey, Jesus, I will walk on water to you. Gets halfway and starts falling in. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to go with you even if I die for it. A few hours later, he's pretending he doesn't know Jesus to a servant girl. And so that's Peter, anything but the best and the brightest. Then we've got James and John. You know, in a group of people, or think about your grade at school, there are always going to be those with like kind of anger management issues, those kids. Well, James and John were the anger management issues in Jesus' group of disciples. Jesus gave them this nickname, Sons of Thunder. One day they're walking through a Samaritan town. This is a non-Jewish town. And the people there didn't invite Jesus in. They didn't respond well to him. So James and John, being the anger management issues people, they're like, Jesus, we're going to pray for God to literally send fire down from heaven and burn this town alive. Those are the guys on Jesus' dream team. Then we've got Matthew, the tax collector. Now, who here likes paying tax? No one liked paying tax, but things were worse at this time. We've got to understand that the Roman Empire had conquered Israel. Israel was an occupied territory, and part of what that meant was Roman guards and Roman armies everywhere to enforce the law of Rome. And secondly, all of these occupied territories had to pay huge amounts of money to keep Rome wealthy. So they didn't do that with a happy heart. Now, tax collectors in this time weren't Romans. They were Jews that the Romans employed to take tax money for the Romans away from Jewish people. So you've got to understand how much hatred the average Jewish person had for tax collectors. So that's Matthew. Then we've got Simon the Zealot. Now, while most people at the time didn't trust Romans, they didn't enjoy the Romans, but they learned how to kind of deal with them. The group of zealots were like, we know exactly what to do with Romans. We're going to put them to the sword. So they were kind of this guerrilla warfare military units. And they just fundamentally believed that when the Messiah came, he was going to organize and mobilize the armies of Israel to get the Romans out of there with violence. So can you imagine, you've got Simon the Zealot who hates Romans so much he can literally picture being violent with them, and then Matthew the tax collector rocks up to discipleship 101. Just imagine the crowd. Now you've got the hotheads, now you've got Peter, and we've got some of the guys, and we've got Judas, who by the way started stealing money from the beginning, and he became a traitor, so people are always like looking skew at Judas already. This is Jesus' dream team. These are the disciples that he chose. Now, I know that kind of sounds like a nightmare to some of you, but isn't that, and I mean this in the best sense of the word, isn't that like so many of our churches? Where we've got extroverts and introverts,
white-collar people and blue-collar people, wealthy people and poor, people we like and people we don't like, people who are street smart and people who are book smart, conservatives and liberals, people with fancy accents and people with southern accents, people who come from stable backgrounds, people who come from messy backgrounds, people who have it all together and people who don't, young people, old people, cool people, fringe people, white people, brown people, people who eat steak and people who are vegans, people who love country and people who love rock. All of them showing up together like we did today to follow Jesus, learning what it means to move from me with Jesus to we with Jesus. And so one of the things that I want to just help us understand, and I've only got two big points for us today. And the first big point as we look at this group of disciples as they showed up to follow Jesus is this: when we look at who they are and their faults and their weaknesses, only one conclusion can come from that, and that must be that anyone can follow Jesus. Anyone can follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't have a type, all right? One of the biggest mistakes that we make is, and this is where the word Christian, as we often mean it, can get in the way. Whether you're not a Christian or whether you are a Christian, we have this fictitious picture of what a Christian is in our head, and we feel like I've got to become that person before I can come to Jesus. And either we give up because we see straight through it because it's a bunch of nonsense, or we put up this mask and we're working so hard to cultivate this fake picture of who we are with Jesus. Now listen, that's like, you know, being in a car accident and you know the ambulance is coming and feeling like you need to fix yourself up before you get taken to the hospital. And that's not how Jesus operated with these people. So how did he? Well, let's look at some of the stories of these guys. In John 1:39, Jesus says, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Not have it all worked out, and then when you're ready, I'm going to give you an application test. No, just come. And as you come, as you walk with me, as you hear from me, as you literally live with me, you will start to see for yourself what this is all about. But it starts off with, come, and you will see. I think that's for some of us this morning. Stephen, I still don't know exactly what you mean about following Jesus this year. I've been a Christian for 20 years. Isn't that good enough? Well, come and see. Or maybe some of you wouldn't even consider yourselves Christians, but for whatever reason, you know, you just can't get away from who this Jesus person is. Well, I'd say to you, come and see. And learn as we go on this journey of following Jesus. To the fishermen, Jesus says, now again, he's applying something that's specific to them. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Not become a fisher of men and then follow me. No, follow me, and as you follow me, I will make you into something. But it starts off with following me. To Matthew, the tax collector, he starts following Jesus. The first thing he does, he has a whole lot of people around to his house, but they're the wrong type of people. They're not the nice Christians. They're not the religious leaders of the time, because Matthew isn't friends with those guys. His friends are more tax collectors and more sinners. And Jesus gets an invite, and Jesus goes and has a meal with these people. And all the religious people on the outside are criticizing Jesus for it. What does he say? He says, but it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And so once again, the first big idea today is anyone can follow Jesus. Maybe you don't feel healthy enough. Well, come and see, come and follow Jesus. Maybe your life feels like it's a mess. Well, follow Jesus and see what he does, see what he makes of your life. Maybe you're not even sure if you believe yet. Well, come and see. Do you know that on this first day, as Jesus spent some time with these disciples, if you had to pull him aside and give them an exam to describe who Jesus was, most of them would have failed. They weren't even 100% sure exactly who this guy is. It was over time that they came to see him as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the Messiah. And there were times when it made sense to them, and there were other times where it didn't make sense to them. And so even as we are figuring out who we believe this Jesus person is, don't wait till you've got it all worked out. Come and see, come and follow, and see what he makes of himself in your life. Anyone can follow Jesus. Now the second point, I think for some of us, is a bigger challenge. And this is where we move from me to we. Me with Jesus to we with Jesus. The second big point for all of us this morning is join the club. Join the ragtag, mixed up, messed up group of people who are learning to follow Jesus together. Now let me tell you, there is so much Jesus wants to do in your life in the quiet place. When you are alone with the presence of Jesus, as you bring yourself before him, as you learn to be with him, as you learn to spend a day with Jesus, as you learn to like Jesus, as you learn to experience and know the voice of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, as you learn to receive on a daily basis the love of Jesus, there is so much that Jesus wants to do in your life in the quiet place. But there is so much that Jesus wants to do in your life that doesn't happen in the quiet place. It happens with others. Do you know, and you can go look through the whole Old Testament, pretty much aside from creation and one or two smaller stories, almost 99% of the time when God moved, he moved through somebody. And that hasn't changed. And so there are people in this room that God wants to use for your transformation. And then there are people in this room where God wants to use you for their transformation. And so much of the Jesus way, because the way of community, the way of doing faith together with others, part of Jesus' way, Jesus' methodology, Jesus' chosen way of doing things is that there is a we, not just a me. And when I say, listen, there's a whole lot of people here in this room that God wants to use to bless everyone else, I don't just mean the easy people. I don't just mean whatever stereotype of Christian you got in your head. I also mean, because this is what we have with these disciples, I mean the easy people and the difficult people, the tax collectors and the sinners and the zealots and the fishermen and the sons of thunder. God wants to use all those kinds of people in your life for your transformation. And we're going to learn how to follow in that way. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to say, Stephen, I hear you, but people are the worst. Right? Remember we spoke about how some of us love the crowd and the energy, and some of us love being alone. But it goes beyond that. Some of you are saying, Stephen, I've just been so disappointed by people, many of whom are actually Christians. I'm done. Some of you are saying, Stephen, you know what? The reason why I'm even in your church is because of what Christians did at my last church. Some of you are struggling to sit in this very room because of some other Christians in the room. Some of you are one step away from leaving this church because of who's in the room. Because people are the worst, right? Now, we're going to deal with that in the weeks to come, so don't worry. All I want to get us to understand is that the discipleship in community is part of the Jesus way. It's part of the yoke of Jesus. It's part of his plan. It is for your good. It is part of how you are formed and transformed into who Jesus is. As we just maybe with some trepidation and fear, as we engage this idea of following Jesus together, and all that that means with these different kinds of people. And so I think what the step of faith is for some of us today is, Doesn't matter what hurts you've experienced, and I can almost pretty much guarantee it's not if you get hurt in church, it's when you get hurt in church. And that idea is 2,000 years old, by the way. The step of faith I'm asking you to take today is to trust Jesus' wisdom and Jesus' way. And say, Jesus, you know what? I love one-on-one time with you, and we're going to grow in that as well. But if you say that part of my transformation is to rock up with a whole lot of people that I don't know, maybe there's some I don't trust, maybe there's some I don't like, maybe there's like, Stephen, do you have any idea who that person is? Are you willing, though, like these 12 men, are you willing to trust Jesus' wisdom in this? And to say, you know what? I want to try something different. And what that means is moving from me with Jesus to we with Jesus. And so I want us to think about who we've had on the stage today. It's we with Jesus. I want us to think about, and I'm going to ask you literally to do this, just look around the room. Look around the room. Turn around. Look at people. If they look frightened of you, smile and wave. All right? People you know, people you don't know, people you're worried about, people who are hard to like. But the invitation today is to rock up and take seriously the invitation of Jesus to follow him and to learn to do that with other people who are taking seriously the decision to follow Jesus. And so as a very simple symbol of this, I want to invite us all to stand together as we pray. And as we pray, I want to encourage your own heart, if you've got the faith for it, to respond and just agree with what we're praying. Let us pray. Lord, I'm hearing this invitation to follow you. And with the faith that I have, whether it's a great amount of faith or a small amount of faith, there's just something in me that wants to walk on this journey. I want to come and see. I want to experience who this Jesus is. Maybe for the very first time, or maybe that he leads me to greater transformation and deeper levels of faith in my life. But Jesus, as I look around me, as I look at this group of 12 disciples that you called, I realize that the invitation to follow you is not just about me. And while I might look at some people and scratch my head and ask God questions, maybe some people are looking at me. And so I choose to lay that down. I choose to trust the ways of Jesus. And Lord, even in the scriptures, we see some of the mixed up ways that the disciples related to you. Some of the mixed up ways that these disciples related to one another. And yes, Lord, here this morning, there is no doubt that as we follow Jesus together, there are going to be some really confusing moments. But I'm willing to trust you in this, Jesus. I'm willing to yield myself to you and say, Jesus, what you can do in the quiet place, oh, I can't wait to go deeper there. When we hear about just being with Jesus, liking Jesus, receiving his love and his presence, learning his voice, oh, I can't wait for that, Jesus. But Jesus, if you say that there's so much more you want to do in my life that you will not do in the quiet place, I'm afraid. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to be any different from other times I've tried to do this. But I submit myself to your ways. And I say, Jesus, I want to know you above all things. And if that requires me doing this, with others. I trust you.